Voices 8 with what became a national hymn in Finland, Jean Sibelius's Finlandia. It's one of the works on the first TSYO concert of the season coming up on November 29th called Mendelssohn's Reformation. I'm Kathleen Kadrioka. This is Sunday Night at the TSO. Well, this first TSYO concert of the season also marks the youth orchestra debut of conductor Nicholas Sharma. Born in the Toronto area, he returns after years of working and studying in the U.S. at the Eastman School of Music and at the University of Oregon. He's led orchestras across the continent, and this is the TSO's newest RBC resident conductor, and we get to meet him now. Nicholas Sharma, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thanks for having me.
We have some get-to-know-you questions because you're a first-timer on the show. Are you ready? What's your favorite cuisine or food?
I would have to say Indian food, partially because my grandfather is from India, and so it was always, every time he'd come and visit, I mean, he lives in Toronto, so it wasn't that far away, but anytime he would come to visit, he would always take us out for Indian food, and I think there's that special connection there because of that. And also as a vegetarian, I know I'm always safe there. There's always tons of options, so yeah.
That's for sure. Opera or ballet, and why?
I have to go with opera. There's just so many amazing operas, and I just love seeing how composers treat the drama and how they capture that in music in so many different ways.
What's your dream travel destination?
That's a hard one. I really love to travel in general, so it's a hard one to pick. I've always been interested to visit New Zealand. It sounds like a really pretty place, like beautiful nature and stuff. Actually, a place closer to here, I've always wanted to visit Northern Canada, actually, for similar reasons. I've just seen videos of the North and in the summer, maybe. But I'd love to visit and just see some of the nature up there.
What composer are you really into right now?
One of the composers that I've been listening to recently a lot is actually Nielsen. He wrote his fourth symphony is the one that everybody knows, but he wrote six symphonies, and I think they're all really fantastic. So I've been kind of obsessed listening to some of his other lesser known ones.
What's your favorite part of Toronto and why?
You know, maybe this is a controversial take, and maybe it's because I just moved back here. But because many people have kind of made little comments, but the TTC, I really love being in a city again that has public transit and where I can jump on a subway or a streetcar and get around town. I've been living in the States for many years, and it's something I definitely have missed. So,
fair enough. Congratulations on being the new RBC resident conductor and TSYO conductor. Tell us a bit about your musical career and what caught you into conducting.
Oh, well, thank you. Let's see. I started the violin when I was five, and that definitely is kind of the beginning of my musical journey. But I think really one of the big things that got me into conducting specifically was playing in a youth orchestra myself. I did so in Ottawa and then in Los Angeles, where I lived for a few years as well. And especially Los Angeles, one of the things was that my private teacher was also the conductor of the American Youth Symphony. So I got to kind of see that behind the scenes a little bit and get to hear his take on how rehearsals went and his feelings about that. And I think just getting that experience and seeing that up close was really important for me to kind of get that initial interest. I remember telling him, oh, I really want to go into conducting, and him saying, well, you have to really learn an instrument well first. And he encouraged me to do an undergraduate degree in violin performance first. And I'm very glad that I listened to his advice and did that. And then after that, though, I went into conducting full time.
What attracted you to conducting?
I think that a lot of it is just the getting to sit back and look at scores, really try and understand the perspective of the composer, really trying to delve into all of these little details and things that a composer has kind of left as little clues and evidences to understand the music, to get an interpretation of the music together. And then there's just something so exciting and exhilarating about getting to share that with a bunch of musicians that are, you know, ready to play. And no 2 days are the same in the life of a conductor, I feel like. And I really like that. I like that each day kind of has its own interesting, you know, moments.
So the TSYO season is coming up and it's looking really exciting. So as you step into this particular role, what milestones in the season are you looking forward to?
Of course, we have our 3 concerts coming up, and I'm very excited for all 3 of them. But we also have some really fun things outside of the concerts themselves. We just finished our camp weekend, which was 3 days of intensive music making, both full orchestra rehearsals, but also smaller group sessions with members of the TSO. But there's some other great milestones. We get to do the side-by-side performance with the TSO, which is such a wonderful opportunity for all of the musicians to get to experience what, you know, a few days in the life of a professional musician is all about. And getting to do, you know, 3 performances of the same piece of music is really an interesting experience to get to do. And then there's also the concerto competition that's coming up in the new year, which will be very interesting to get to hear a bunch of very talented young musicians perform some of their solo pieces.
As you have entered into this role, what is your take on the importance of institutions like the TSYO in the sort of training ecosystem of young musicians?
I think it's just such a wonderful resource to dedicate yourself and spend so many hours at an instrument and find that commitment in those many, many hours by yourself in a practice room of learning an instrument. Can be a rewarding experience in and of itself, but getting to experience that with others, getting to meet and work with other young musicians that share that passion is such a special approach. And I think these days, just so much of our culture is so fast moving, and having an opportunity to sit back and really be forced to listen carefully to everybody around you and try and find the ways where you fit in, ways where you can respond to another musician in a musical sense, right, is a skill that I think you can take with you regardless of what you do afterwards. And there's just so much that you can learn, I think, when you're sitting in a room with a bunch of talented musicians and trying to learn how to listen carefully so that you can kind of create this beautiful music together.
And that beautiful music is by necessity something that requires a lot of people. I mean, you can't really experience fantastic symphonies as a musician unless you've got this whole team of players, and they're getting ready for the first concert of the season that is titled Mendelssohn's Reformation. Tell us about this program.
Yeah, so as the title suggests, the main work and the work that we programmed first was Mendelssohn's Reformation Symphony. That work is what we're going to end the concert with. But I was reflecting on some of the themes of Mendelssohn's Reformation and how we could bring together a program that has similar themes. So the Mendelssohn Reformation Symphony was written for the 300th anniversary of the Augsburg Confession. And, you know, it's a very interesting thing because Mendelssohn was Jewish in background, but wrote this Lutheran work basically to celebrate this 300th anniversary. I think that there's something very interesting about this because it's an outsider's perspective, but I also think that one of the big reasons I personally think he chose to write this was because one of his biggest musical influences was Bach. And you can certainly hear there's these beautiful chorales that he's taking directly, more or less, from Bach and from the Lutheran tradition and setting them in the orchestral, kind of modern orchestral sound world. this idea of hymns for orchestra kind of emerged. And so the first work on the program is the Russian Easter Overture by Rimsky-Korsakov. And he took basically hymns or chants from the Russian Orthodox tradition, even though he didn't really consider himself a part of that either, actually, interestingly enough. So also a bit of an outsider. But he took those themes and wove them into this, you know, beautiful overture. You can hear him responding to, again, a piece of music, a work that was written before him, and finding this way to bring it as a hymn for the full orchestra. And then Finlandia, I think the middle section is maybe one of the most famous hymns for orchestra, actually. But Sibelius, I think the beginning and ending kind of represents Finland in its natural sense. And the hymn, to me, represents kind of the humans and the people of Finland and kind of the spirit of Finland. So there's something, again, that ties into all of these themes that we're talking about. The very last piece, which was actually the last one that ended up being programmed, is Anna Klein's This Moment. And I think it actually fits in just so perfectly into all of these themes as well, because it was written only a few years ago. And the title, This Moment, comes from a Thich Nhat Hanh quote. I believe the full quote is, "This moment is full of wonders." In it, she kind of reflects on actually a longer quote of his where he speaks about meditating on death as a way to celebrate life. She wrote this, you know, a few years after the pandemic, so there's certainly a reaction to that. But she, the two main influences for this work come from Mozart's Requiem. So she basically, again, looked back and found a composer whose work really spoke to her and brought it into a modern context, into an orchestral context that she was able to explore and create this beautiful kind of singing moments as well for the orchestra.
It sounds like you had a lot of fun putting this program together.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, what a great thread that you've woven through it. If I'm not mistaken, though, Finlandia is the outlier, because didn't the hymn only really become something that people sang after?
Yes, for right? sure.
It just grew into this kind of national hymn.
Yeah, the kind of national sense, and the, I believe there's a religious version of this, if I'm not mistaken, but that also came afterwards. So it's kind of in reverse, actually,
yeah,
in
that's
a sense.
Cool. That's
that
really
one,
nice.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like an amazing program and a nice way to start your tenure as TSYO conductor and RBC resident conductor. Nicholas, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was the TSO's RBC resident conductor and TSYO conductor, Nicholas Sharma. You can help welcome him back to Toronto on November 29th as he leads the TSYO in the fascinating program Mendelssohn's Reformation, happening at 3 p.m. at the George Weston Recital Hall at the Meridian Arts Centre. For more information, visit tso.ca. Now let's hear some of what Nicholas was talking about from Mendelssohn's Fifth Symphony. Here's the final movement that begins with the Lutheran chorale, Ein Festeberg ist unser Gott, a mighty fortress is our God.